Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome in. We have shocking news about one of the NFL's most famous quarterbacks, Russell Wilson. But first, I'm Emmanuel Acho. That is Dave Hellman, NFL insider, the brilliant Joy Taylor, again off co-hosting The Herd. Wonderful job. And Eagles all-time rushing leader, LeSean Shady McCoy. Well, the breaking news, somebody's coming to the defense of Russell Wilson, his star wide receivers. Get this. You have to read this information. It's a tweet from Jerry Jeudy, first-round pick from a couple years back. I ain't gonna keep looking at these false statements about my boy Russ, man. As a teammate who sees the elite work ethic this man has as a comparable, he got in office because he's committed his life to this game. Remember, some people are alleging that Russell Wilson has an office inside the building. I never had a teammate who motivated me more than Russ 100. Also, KJ Hamler, another wide receiver, top three-round pick for the Broncos last 3 years. Three, Russell Wilson, goes above and beyond to do whatever it takes to win for the team. Y'all not about to bash him and act like he still ain't the same Russ who won a Super Bowl and was a 9-time Pro Bowler. Ooh. I stand behind my quarterback. Love you, three, again. Inference, three is Russell Wilson's jersey. Love you, Russell Wilson. I got to be honest, y'all. We may have it wrong about Russ. Not his play. That's obvious. Clearly, he's playing bad. But so many people have been so loud, including myself, about Russell Wilson splintering the locker room, Russell Wilson losing the locker room, Russell Wilson being out of touch with his teammates, Russell Wilson being the most disingenuous person in the National Football League. That is a pervasive thought by us, the media, around Russell Wilson. Well, with new information, Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, must come a new opinion. After hearing the Denver Broncos up-and-coming emerging star wide receivers come to the defense of Russell Wilson, I got to change my opinion. I'm led to believe maybe we are wrong about off-the-field Russell Wilson. We know he's one of the hardest workers, but we shunned him for his hard work. High knees on the airplane trying to keep his hamstring loose en route to London. We made fun of him for that. Go back to last year, broken thumb. He's taking snaps before a game he's not playing in. We made fun of him for that. And on the outside, I get it. Let's get our laughs off. Let's get our retweets off. Let's get our shared posts off. But when you listen to his wide receivers, Jerry Jeudy, first-round pick, KJ Hamler, third-round pick out of Penn State, they seem to admire what Russ is doing. Maybe we're wrong. At least maybe I'm wrong. But, Joy, what do you make of Russell Wilson's teammates defending him?
Well, we know he has an office now. Yeah. So that's no longer a rumor.
Appreciate that.
He has an office, which I really didn't have a problem with. I mean, I don't know. You guys tell me if that's normal. I know some quarterbacks do have offices. We certainly know Tom Brady had a whole facility.
You never had a quarterback that had something like that, right? No. I'm thinking about it. Because you got to be like a level. I remember with my first time even seeing something like that with the Bucks. And Brady, Alex is like the
Guerrero?
Alex Guerrero, yeah.
He's like the trainer, right? So he had, if anybody gets a nick or injury, we would go see Alex first, and then Alex would send us to the other trainers for the Bucks. And he has his own office, right? So you walk in the building, to the right, down the hall, you'll see Alex.
Break down for those at home who don't know who Alex is. Alex's relationship to Tom Brady? Okay. Educate them.
So if you take it all the way back, Bill Belichick had an issue with Alex being in the mm-hmm. facility. He had a problem with him, you know, helping the players out, you know, getting them back, giving them treatment if they're injured, et cetera. So what happened is, Brady left, took him to Tampa Bay, and now when he came to Tampa Bay, he had a big office, right? He had a big office, and if guys would get hurt, so he's Tom's, you know, special trainer, and then we would use him from time to time. And he was really good, smart guy. Yep. TB12 is what they call it. It's right. That little thing they
do. Brady's been playing for
But he got a nice office, though. He got a nice couch in there.
Yeah.
He gave me a little some therapy before my treatment. Shady, how's the kids? How's family? How's life? How's Tampa? And then we got to working out.
So you've seen it before. Joy, you were saying.
I have no problem with him having an office. That's not, I mean, obviously this is not normal, but that didn't really surprise me. the extra parking spots doesn't really move me either.
Right.
I mean,
correct.
He's probably got people with him.
Of course.
Know this. It's a different world now. You got to have your content people. Maybe he has a trainer he likes to have or a spiritual guru or whatever it is. No, that doesn't really bother me. It becomes a problem when you're getting special treatments you're not really acknowledging or recognizing that you get the special treatment. You're not passing it on to your teammates. And of course, as always, everything is a big deal when you're losing. Now, I said earlier on the herd, I think Russ needs to come to a real space of accountability. Not saying that he doesn't recognize he's not playing well. He talked about Nathaniel Hackett. He was very remorseful that Nathaniel Hackett's not there anymore. I'm not going to put more credit on words from people who don't put their name on it. Like how we found, were first hearing the rumors about his teammates not appreciating his office and parking spots. Now that teammates have come out and put their name on it.
Check.
But it neutralizes it for me. So maybe there are still teammates in the locker room. That came from somewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm calling Shannon Sharpe a liar and Whitworth and Booger and other people that were saying this. So I'm not going to call them liars, but I'm going to give more credit to people who come out and put their name on it. If someone was saying something about you or me and someone came out and defended you, I would hope people would pay more attention to the people that are saying things in defense than people who are speaking behind closed doors. So I think it's neutral. Perhaps maybe some of the defensive players weren't too happy with Russell Wilson this year. It's a possibility.
I mean, we saw them not be happy with him on the sidelines.
Physically watched that. So there is that. They certainly held up their end of the bargain this year. So it's plausible, especially based off of what happened in Seattle and what defensive players weren't necessarily happy with Russell Wilson during his tenure there. So maybe that's a possibility. But at the end of the day, maybe Russ isn't a bad teammate. Maybe Russ is taking his version of accountability for what happened. But at the end of the day, Russ makes a lot of money. Russ is a superstar. Russ going there is the reason they had like 2011 national games, primetime games to start the season. They gave up 5 first-round picks to get Russ. All of the criticism that's heading Russ's way is warranted. And the only pushback that I would have is, yeah, we are going to act like Russ isn't the same guy that won that Super Bowl.
Sure.
Because he hasn't been. And we can see that. Now, that's not to say he won't get back there. But right now, he isn't. And his play is what got Nathaniel Hackett and others fired.
Yep, absolutely. I'm with Joy on that. The criticism is warranted, Dave. What I wanted to put a halt to was some of the gossip. Criticism, which everybody can see, warranted all day. But when we were starting to, and I was starting to go far along with maybe he's a bad teammate guy, I'm glad his teammate spoke up. Dave, you spent 10 years in and adjacent to locker rooms covering the Dallas Cowboys. What are your thoughts on Russell Wilson in light of the teammates defending him?
I mean, Russell Wilson is guilty of playing poorly and losing, right? I mean, that this type of stuff happens at the end of a bad season all over the place, especially when it's such a disappointing season. Like, the expectations in Denver were pretty high. I think there's merit to it, but the reason I say that is, like, Russell Wilson's kind of always been this guy, right? I mean, like, we gave him grief when he was in Seattle balling. Like, the Mr. Unlimited stuff, like, I mean, we remember that, right? Like, people liked to clown on Russ when he was really good. So now he's an easier target because he's not good. I will say, it carries a lot of weight. KJ Hamler in particular, it carries a lot of weight to hear him say that for me. Because again, like, what do we do when we're not in the locker room? Like, we draw conclusions from what we see. KJ Hamler's the guy that got visibly upset at the end of the loss to the Colts, slamming his helmet in the back of the end zone. Christmas Day. So, like, this isn't even ancient history. 4 days ago, he's freaking out. You know, he runs a shallow route. Russ throws deep. It gets picked. And he's, like, storming off the field upset before the play's even over. So for him to overcome that and still be willing to go to bat for Russell Wilson, that carries some weight with me. The gossip and stuff, for like I said, it's old hat for Russell Wilson at this point anyway. He's been dealing with that since some of those guys in Seattle were still on his team. And I think it's magnified just because they're losing. So I don't put that much stock in it.
Yeah, I love that his teammates are supporting him, right? Reading them tweets and saying that, I love that, right? Because we've seen different quarterbacks and different teams where they don't support
like
a struggling quarterback, like Zach Wilson,
yep.
Right? I haven't heard one player say anything positive about Zach. Matter of fact, they actually supported the backup, right? Another thing about the NFL, especially in the locker room, there's jealousy. Let's just keep it real. You put all these alpha males, right, in one room, and it's only one king to that jungle, and it's the quarterback. No matter how bad a team is, right, the quarterback is always going to be the main guy. The 49ers, we always talk about how good they are. They always hype up Jimmy G. He's not even close to the best player.
Yep,
you see what I'm saying? So, like, even the guys in Seattle, I can never say anything bad about Richard Sherman. He was a dog. He was a beast. He's one of the best to ever do it. But you're not the quarterback, right? So a lot of defense was winning them games and Super Bowls. We can say that. But Russell was the quarterback. So when you're the quarterback, you get those special privileges, right? Shannon, I don't know if it's Shannon, whoever it is, but even you said the Shannon Sharp thing, whatever it is, like Shannon was a great player. He ain't Elway. I'm sure they treated Elway different.
Different.
Yeah. Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith. So I'll give you them examples because I've been on teams where, hey, I'm making $20 million. The quarterback's making $25 million. I'm like, man, we win a game because of me. You see what I'm saying? So I think a lot of times with Russ, people are jealous of Russ. He got the office now. You know, he's got the money, the contract. The franchise put all this hope into Russ. That's how it works. So KJ Hamler, sorry, bro. You're not the guy. You're okay.
He's content with it. Second round, number 46
overall.
Yeah, but
it's roles. He's content with it. Even on the defense. You have a guy like let's say Chubb. Chubb's a beast, et cetera. So if he's angry that Russ is getting all special treatment, I get it because you're a good player as well. But you're not the quarterback. You're the quarterback. You get special privileges.
Don't you think it is strange, though, because we don't see this with other star quarterbacks very often?
I mean, the good ones.
I feel star quarterbacks.
If Russ was balling. Because yeah.
When he was playing well, we saw this.
That's fair.
But he wasn't balling better than everybody else.
Yeah, I think when you were talking, and to answer George's question preemptively, because I was thinking about the answer while you were talking, I think the rub comes when the quarterback who is the most valuable is not the best.
Right. There you go. Yep,
that's where the rub lies. Yep. Usually the quarterback we know is the most valuable player on the team, but he's typically the best player on the team.
Right.
Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers is most valuable best. Tom Brady, he's most valuable and he's best.
Right.
Minnesota Vikings. Kirk Cousins is most valuable. But he ain't the best.
Right.
Justin Jefferson is the best. Seahawks. Russell Wilson was the most valuable. Why do we know this? Because Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, Richard Sherman, they were all there in 2011.
Yeah, they was
and
dogs.
The Seahawks were 7-9.
Yeah.
And Russell Wilson shows up, and I believe they were 11-5, and then they were in the Super Bowl.
Right.
So while Sherm, Earl, and Cam are all better than Russ, and Russ would not deny it.
For sure.
Russ was the most valuable.
Yeah.
So I think, Joy, the answer, and I was thinking about it while 2-5 was talking, it's like, there's a big rub.
You already know what it is. Good point.
There's a big rub that comes when your quarterback is the most valuable, but he's not the best. Russ is going to have to figure out a way to be both of these. Joy, let me come to you with one final question. Does this give you, I know you already had optimism, but do seeing his wide receivers cheering and championing him, does that give you even more confidence about Russ getting right next year?
It does, because from what we were hearing and that compounding with what we've heard from Seattle and what we've heard from former teammates, which is why I just asked that, it was trending towards I don't know if Russ really gets it. I don't know if Russ sees people and reads the room. Because you can be a good person. I don't think Russ is a bad person. I don't even think Russ is a bad teammate. But you can be somebody who can't read the room.
Mm.
We all know people like that. Everybody's down. They come in. Hey, why a long face? Like,
it's the worst. It's the worst.
Two, three picks.
No, not right now. Not right now. So I don't know if Russ is that, but that really doesn't matter. At the end of the day, him having two of his young teammates support him is important.
Yeah.
And it's all going to be on Russ next year. So having any kind of support in the locker room, especially after the way that the season has gone, to me is a positive.
Absolutely. And you want support from the big dogs in the locker room. It's one thing if your special teams, they support you. But when your first-round pick wide receiver, Jerry Jeudy, and your second-round pick wide receiver, KJ Hamler, support you, well, Russ, that's a really good starting spot. Coming up next, Derek Carr got some much-needed support from his star wide receiver, that man you're looking at, Davante Adams. Remember, he left Aaron Rodgers to join his former college teammate, Derek Carr. But now, Derek Carr is benched. How in the world should $140 million wide receiver Davante Adams feel? That look might say it all. Next on Speed.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Y'all see it right there. Derek Carr, he has been benched by the Raiders, and reports say he and the team, they're going to part ways for the rest of the season. Doesn't want to be a distraction. But get this. On the screen, Davante Adams, star wide receiver, he says, this man gave me everything I had. The reason I'm a Raider, one of the most disciplined and loving people I know. Got my brother's back, do whatever. And if you can't respect it, excuse my language. You. Shoulder shrug. Love you, bro. You can see Davante Adams right there.
you should be able to tell which one Devontae is. And Derek Carr right there in that photo. Remember, they go back to college, Fresno State, if I am not mistaken, where they were college teammates. Derek Carr left Aaron Rodgers to go join Devontae Adams, LeSean McCoy. I know you have a lot of thoughts on this. How should should Devontae Adams want out of Vegas?
Out. Get out of there. Listen, he's packing his bags right now. He should go on there right today with Terrell Owens type attitude. Yeah, trade me. I got to get out of here. First of all, the reason why I'm a Raider is because of Derek Carr. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to come to no Oakland. I mean, Oakland.
Las Vegas.
Vegas? Come to no Vegas? For what? If I wanted a better quarterback, because everybody's saying, oh, well, they might get a better quarterback. I could stay in Green Bay, play with Aaron Rodgers, two-time MVP. I can't play my best player, or my best friend. First of all, in college, me and you are boys.
Yes, sir.
Right? Imagine me with the college together. Facts. Like, you be my boy plus 10, right? Everyone wants to play with their best friends. That's the best thing about football. You play, you grow a love for the game, but then you do it with your brother. Yeah, I'm pissed off, and I think he should be too.
Yeah, he got a one out. I remember when I was coming out of college for the draft, people would be like, yo, Acho, where you want to get drafted? I was like, the Cardinals or the Cowboys? Cardinals because my brother played there, Cowboys because I'm from there. I didn't care about the other 30 teams. Like, I want to get drafted by somebody, right, but I'd rather play with my brother. Like, that's my blood. Or play in Dallas because my family's there. They're my blood. There are some things to me that transcend football. If I'm Devontae Adams, I want out. Like, if I'm Devontae Adams, I get it. It's a business, all these things. But it was more personal than it was ever a business because I made a personal decision first and foremost when I went to Las Vegas, not just a business decision. Joy, I know you have thoughts. Where do you stand?
I think you should see what the plan is. And then if he doesn't like the plan, ask out.
You don't trust the Raiders to have a plan?
I don't trust the Raiders. Maybe I'm crazy, but they haven't made the best choices. They can't keep any of their first-round picks there. They clearly don't respect anyone that bleeds and tries for them, because Derek Carr has been the only steadfast thing for them for almost a decade. Now you just got to sit. So they don't have any, like, respect for the people that they have in the building, clearly. You can say whatever you want about Derek Carr's play this year. It wasn't great, but he's been the only thing there that's been consistent. So if I'm here because of him, who the hell else you bringing in? So, tinfoil hat, Brady goes there. Maybe I chill and wait and see how Brady looks, what he's talking about. I'm sure he's going to love him if he ends up being that. He is being paid a lot of money to be there.
Yes.
So maybe we stick around for Brady. Maybe if Aaron Rodgers ends up there. I don't know why he would, because he's got $50 million guaranteed in Green Bay.
Yeah.
And it ain't like the Raiders are offering anything interesting other than Devontae Adams.
Or that they have a ton of money to offer it with.
Yeah. They don't. They don't, actually. We don't have to wonder about that. So who could you possibly be bringing here? I'm not trying to work. If I was going to deal with inconsistency or unknowns in quarterback, why wouldn't I just stay in Green Bay, which I know? And then I know Jordan Love. I might not be excited about Jordan Love, but I know Aaron Rodgers. And if Aaron Rodgers leaves, I know Jordan Love. I don't know this new rookie quarterback, assuming they get a rookie quarterback, which, by the way, who are they going to get? There's only really two quarterbacks in this draft that anyone feels really that confident about to begin with. That doesn't mean someone's not going to be good. But are the Raiders going to develop them into being a good player? No, there's too many unknowns. You know I'm about to trick off my career. I came here for him.
I mean, I don't disagree with y'all. I just think, like, what does Devontae Adams stand to gain by making this a problem right now or burning bridges? Okay, I mean, let's be, and Devontae Adams is a pro's pro. Like, the way he's handled all of this is really admirable, considering how disappointing it must be. Can you imagine the idea of what he thought life was going to be like when he got there in March versus what it's been ever since and what it looks like right now? Like, that's tough. So, like, I applaud him for handling this with grace. But at the same time, guys, like, okay, it's a major contract. Those don't get moved easily. Like, I mean, that you're talking about the Raiders incurring cap hits. You're talking about another team being willing to take on a cap hit. And then the compensation as well. And I mean, they're not cutting him. They're not cutting Devontae Adams, right? Like, they were going to get something for him if they were to offload a player of his caliber. So now you're talking about moving the contract and then getting a team to agree to give you a price that you feel good about. I don't think it's super realistic. It could happen, and that's a conversation that can come up later in the offseason. But for right now, I think Devontae Adams is best served seeing what happens. If the Raiders are this bound and determined to move off of a guy who's been pretty good for them, all things considered. I hope they have a plan. Well, I mean, I can at least say I hope, right? Whether it's Tom Brady, whether it Aaron Rodgers feels far-fetched, Jimmy Garoppolo, they're gonna have a top 10 pick. Maybe you could use that to bring a quarterback in. You could potentially, I mean, if they do, we think they're gonna win both of these games with Jarrett Stidham at quarterback?
Nope.
So they could be picking as high as like 5, 6, 7 in the draft. You could use that to leverage something to get a quarterback worth playing with. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I don't think Davante Adams would be well served by raising a fuss.
Shady, right, you made now a great point before the show. You said that all you have in sports are your word.
Yeah.
You said all you have in sports are your word, is your word. That's all you have. And the Raiders have now doubled back on their word, probably both to Davante Adams and to Derek Carr. So if, in fact, the Raiders have shown you that the reason you came, they don't actually respect or care about, yep, how does that mess with your psyche as a player?
Yeah, it pisses you off. Now the question was, how should he feel about, should he want out or not? Mm-hmm. And he should want to go out, right? Like, get me out of here, because the selling point of me coming to this team was Derek Carr. Yeah. And now that he's gone, it's like, how do you want me to follow this new plan you have when the initial plan you had, that's out the window? Real quick, if you've seen all the interviews from Devontae earlier in the year, and then even Josh Jacobs, he recently said he's tired. He said it's been four long years, and I'm tired of this. The captain of the team is the coach, head coach. And I don't think he's a good head coach. I really don't. So to follow this guy, right, with these new plans you have, nobody wants to believe in that. We talk about Tom Brady coming there. Why would Tom come there? Now, yeah, they have a relationship, you know, him and the head coach, right? But, like, look at everything around. It's dysfunctional. The main running back, who's probably, he's top five in the league, he's number one rushing right now, he's not going to sign back with the team. He already kind of basically said it. Then you look around. Devontae's going to be pissed off, right? Why would he come there?
I hate to be Mr., like, pro-business guy, but, like, the Raiders could keep Josh Jacobs if they want. I mean, they could franchise tag him, and he doesn't have a choice. I mean,
he did say this morning in an interview, he said, I don't know if I will be here. I would like to be a Raider, but if I'm not, sure, we will see. So he's expressed.
When you say something like that, you're not trying to be there.
I do have this story because, Dave, you make a great point about the business of it all. But I remember, Shady, you might not remember this name because he was a coach on the defensive side of the ball. One of the best defensive coaches I've been around, Coach Azanero. Defensive line coach in the Eagles. You might not remember him because obviously he was an offensive dude. So Coach Az is what we call
him. Oh, I've heard of him. Yes,
Coach Az had a long career. Coach Az had been with Chip Kelly going back to 2005, 2006 at New Hampshire. Okay. He goes with Chip to Oregon. He comes with Chip to Philly. Chip gets fired. Now, mind you, I left the team 2 weeks before Chip gets fired, so this is hearsay. I heard after Chip got fired, the last 2 weeks of the season, Coach Az didn't even show up. Like, he was like, yo, if he gone, I'm gone with my man. Chip goes to the 49ers. Coach Az goes to the 49ers.
Right.
Chip goes to UCLA. Coach Az goes to UCLA.
He loyal.
For 15 years, they was like this. So sometimes business is business until it's not. Until it gets a lot more personal. And I think it's gotten personal for the Raiders and Derek Carr and Davante Adams. Coming up, the playoffs are finally right around the corner. Y'all realize 31 days from today, we will know who is in the Super Bowl. That means it's almost time. But which NFC quarterback do we trust the most? Purdy? Hurts? Dak? Brady? Will Rodgers get in? That's next on Speak. I cannot wait for this one. What's up, family? Welcome back in. The Rams, they face the Chargers on Sunday. That means that Justin Herbert and Sean McVay will go head to head. Sean McVay, he had a lot of praise for the Chargers star quarterback. Speak up, Sean.
I've seen a quarterback that is doing things that he's in rarefied air in terms of early on in his career, and he seems like he's got a great way about himself too, which is why his teammates, you know, seem like they love him and does a great job, you know, in a lot of different things.
Say, you had a comment, obviously. Oh.
Listen, I'm just saying, like, I feel like every week it's a new head coach talking about, or head coach or legend, right? Ex-legend, how good this quarterback is. Oh, he's so great. He's so young. He's this, he's that. He's so advanced. I'm just saying, they all can't be wrong. And I love Joe Burrow.
Who's saying he isn't?
And nobody said he's not
good.
Who's
saying he isn't good?
All I said was that a lot of greats and coaches every week.
I really don't understand. Like, I really do not understand. Who is saying Justin Herbert is bad?
I don't think anybody.
Who did it?
Oh, now we're looking around.
Who did it? Hey, it wasn't me.
Wait, we shouldn't be looking around.
You know what it is? It's like y'all don't say that, but the things you guys say
make you feel like that.
Yeah,
I understand though.
It's not what you say.
It's like light shade.
I'm not gonna shade you. I'm like a little dry shade.
You know what? You're right. It is totally shade to say that Patrick Mahomes is better than Justin Herbert.
That's shady as hell. But that's facts, though.
Because the feelings would say otherwise.
But let me ask you, though, Tupac.
Every other coach.
Because McVay said he's in rarefied air. You would agree?
Yeah.
What's Lamar Jackson in? Is he in rarefied air?
That's shade.
No, I'm just wondering.
How dare you shade?
Why can't they both be in rarefied air? Patrick Mahomes is in Hall of Fame.
He's another level, though.
Okay, what's Josh Allen in?
He's getting there.
They're all really good.
Okay, I'm just saying, y'all understand the definition of rare.
Everybody's good. Rare. So we all love each other.
It's only like six of them. No competition.
We're playing for fun, Dave.
If it's 32 quarterbacks, and it's only like six, seven rare quarterbacks, that's rare.
If there's a rare quarterback every year, then it can't be rare. Because Mahomes was rare in his class, and Lamar and Allen were rare in their class, and Burrow and Herbert were rare in their class. Y'all understand the definition of rare. I care about words.
What it is at the end of the day, man.
Care about words.
Is this. Justin Herbert is the greatest player that has ever put 10 toes down on the football field. He is faster, stronger, taller, throws the ball further.
Look what you did, Shady.
More yards, more touchdowns.
I mean,
runs the ball better.
Technically,
he's smarter.
Deion only has 9 toes right now.
Yeah.
So,
no.
He could make a
Deion, Jerry Rice, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Dan Marino, John Elway, Shannon Sharpe, Rob Gronkowski. Take a seat.
He's having a great start.
Joe Montana.
He's having a great start.
He is. That's fair.
Anything less than what I just said is considered shade.
I will co-sign he's having a great start. We just can't be throwing around a rarefied air.
He is actually doing very rare. Numbers-wise, he's a rare player. There's never been one quarterback ever to do the things he's doing in
the first 3 years.
Yeah. It's got to be specific.
That is rare.
I don't know why Justin Herbert.
Sean sees what I see. McVay, us Sean C.
I can go find the video.
You're Sean now.
You ain't got a free
quarterback.
You have a whole pre Chargers to Sean. You're not
most touchdowns.
If your mom's watching this show, you're not just gonna rewrite your name on your birth certificate. Blah, Sean.
I just feel very grateful to be able to be alive to watch the greatest sports star that we have ever seen in existence.
I'm just happy that now you got like so y'all pick and choose when y'all wanna like stats.
I like words.
No.
I like words. Sean. All right, let's move on to more quarterbacks. Because Herbert got us all out of whack. Jalen Hurts, he has been balling right now. Remember, he's dealing with the shoulder sprain. But the Eagles, they're going to be in the playoffs. You already know what time it is. The other great quarterback, Tom Brady. You know he's going to be in the playoffs. You know he's already checked his spot. 7 rings. Oh, my God, he's a beast. Brock Purdy, it looks like him and Jimmy Garoppolo, they will both show their faces in the playoffs more than likely. Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott, amongst others. NFC playoff picture is going to be wild. Dave Hellman, you have been embraced in this NFC playoff picture for years now. Which NFC quarterback do you trust most in the playoffs?
I'll keep this short and sweet. I do a double take when I get these questions sometimes because I'm like, you're not asking me about the team. You're asking me about the quarterback. If Tom Brady punches his ticket to the playoffs, which I think he will, how could it be anybody but him? Now, like I said, short and sweet. I got some stats for you. Tom Brady has won more playoff games as a Buck, as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, than the rest of the field combined. With a strong D at the end. Tom Brady has more fourth quarter comebacks in the playoffs. 9. He doesn't have more. He's got as many. He's got 9 fourth quarter comebacks in the playoffs. The rest of the field has 9 appearances in the playoffs.
Ooh.
Dak's been in 4 games. Kirk's been in 3. Hurts has been in 1. Heineke's been in 1. The rest, zip.
That's right.
Okay, Tom Brady's got a 4-1 record as an underdog in the playoffs. That's better than anybody else in the field. Like, there's nothing. You got nothing.
It's a layup.
This is a layup. All right, it's Tom Brady.
Shady, make the layup, big dog.
Let's take care of that side of the table first.
He's working on something over there.
I mean, we're not asking about the team.
Exactly.
Obviously, the team was the question. Mm-hmm. Words matter. If the team was the
words
question,
matter.
Then I would not have this answer. But that's not the question. You're asking me what individual man who plays the quarterback position,
correct,
who I trust most in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
There is no other answer other than Tom Brady. You just read all the stats, so I'm not going to bore you with more of them.
He's won more playoff games as a Buccaneer.
Ooh.
Forget everything that happened in New England.
It's a short. Can we talk about after Tom Brady? Can we take Tom Brady out?
Keep him in.
Keep him in.
He technically is in there.
It's more interesting if we don't consider him.
No, because I don't trust him.
Keep him in there. Let me go before you.
Go ahead.
You
I don't trust him.
Wait. I want my dog to be done. You done?
Hold on, but you said you want to do this whole side of the table. Oh, you meant this side of the table.
Because you know he's going to take the whole thing. He's going to do his little thing.
Okay.
So let me get my little situation going on.
Your situation.
They said Tom Brady, I love Tom. How can you not?
You got your ring. You got to love him.
Come on, I love Tommy. Tommy, like, he's the greatest of all time. But you talked about stats, not this year, years before, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with Hurts. This is why. We can't just, like, erase everything he did this year. You can't just, like, play good the whole year. Oh, now it's the playoffs. Now I'm just weak. I'm a bum. It don't work like that. Tom Brady has 13 turnovers.
Ooh.
Did you know that?
God, that's not good.
13. He almost has double the amount of my guy.
Ooh.
Hurts. So things won't just change, right? Now, granted, Tom Brady is one of the greatest of all time. And then real quick, they're not even in the playoffs yet.
Mm-hmm.
You notice his first thing he said was if they get in.
If they get in.
We need him to get in because it's not just like red stone that he's going to get in there. My boys are in there. My boy's playing for
might be in a bye.
The number one seed.
He is.
Huh? And my boy was practicing. Oh, did you see him? The right arm looked good to me.
Look good.
So I'm going to say this. I'm going to go on with Jalen Hurts just because he doesn't turn the ball over. He's been balling all year. He's an MVP conversation. He's not living off this, what I used to do. I used to do this. I used to do that. Russell used to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I interject.
So this year, Dave Hellman, Joy Taylor, I'm going with Jalen Hurts.
What up, Dave?
Ask Lamar Jackson if season-long success takes over in the playoffs. Like, does it just carry over all the time, no questions asked?
I don't know. We'll see with these 13 turnovers. I've never seen turnover this much.
I'm just saying. He's got a shoulder sprain.
We're going to find out.
Tom Brady, Jalen Hurts. I got an answer for you, Shady.
Can I come with you?
Please do, my dog.
Because they're living in the past.
We don't ever
get it's a new day.
Okay, look. Now, my answer, I have to build up a little bit real quick.
Okay,
now, let's just show you the statistics around the quarterback in the NFC that I want. I'm just going to show you some of the statistics first and foremost. Now, my guy, 24 passing touchdowns, 7 interceptions, a 7.9 yards per game.
I know who this is.
Completion percentage. Who might it be?
That's Jalen Hurts.
Not necessarily. Because look who might compare my guy to, how he stacks up against some of these quarterbacks, big dog. Jalen Hurts, he has more passing touchdowns than him.
Okay.
He's got less interceptions than Dak. More yards per attempt than Kirk. Greater completion percentage than Tom. Higher passing
rate. He better be over 21 years old, though.
Look. Depends how you look at it.
Better be over 21 years old.
Now, y'all know what they say.
Don't do
Jimmy
this.
G and
don't
Brock Purdy are
it.
Both alive
what?
For the playoffs. I'm going with Jimmy Purdy as a quarterback I trust the most in the playoffs. If you aggregate their numbers, 27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, higher completion percentage, pass rating, whoever the Niners put out there at quarterback, that's who I trust the most. I don't care who it is. Jimmy Garoppolo, he had like 17 touchdowns, 5 picks. Brock Purdy has 8 touchdowns, 3 picks. Whoever the Niners put out there at quarterback, I trust them the most. Easily.
Now, this is crazy.
How?
This is ridiculous.
This is ridiculous.
How?
I'm not even going to talk.
Jimmy Garoppolo's already been to a Super Bowl.
And
he barely
did anything. Like,
I mean, I'm saying he barely did anything. He was beating you by 10 points going into the fourth quarter.
I actually thought you were going to go with Carson Wentz. So this is a bit of a relief for them.
I'm like, whoever the Niners quarterbacks, they have a 3-to-1 touchdown interception ratio. The Niners quarterbacks
it's
protect
not quarterbacks,
the ball.
Though it's one.
Whichever one.
And I'll be very clear because apparently anything that you say that is critical on the show is hate. So I'm not shaming Brock Purdy. He is playing great.
He young, though.
He's playing good.
He young boy.
He a baby,
yeah, that's
though.
That's one. Yeah, baby.
Baby. Like,
he's young boy. But think about it, though. First matchup, what, they got to play the Giants? You got to play the Commanders? You know Brock Purdy's
going to
ball.
I feel bad for whoever has to play.
Bingo. You know he's going to ball. Second matchup, you play the Vikings? You know he's going to ball. You're not going to play bad, at least. And then you got to play probably the Eagles or the Cowboys.
He a rookie. Like there's going to be one game, right? And it might be before the playoffs, but the rookie quarterback is going to be a rookie quarterback. It's going to come, right? And that's going to come. And then another thing's going to come is that defense is not always going to play so great. Them days are coming. And then real quick with the Tom Brady thing, I forgot this. I'll just keep going back to it. Like, there's always been like the top of the guy on the mountain. But eventually,
sure,
it's them young guys. They keep climbing.
We saw last year.
They keep climbing.
Last year in the playoffs, Tom Brady was not elite.
But they keep climbing. It's like, all right, now somebody has to take over that throne. And I think this might be the time where Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, we won't see them type of guys in the playoffs.
I agree with you. If you took, if you, we don't know if he's going to make the playoffs, obviously, yet they still have to,
question mark. Big question mark.
But if Brady's not in there, the answer to this question for me is Jalen. Oh. I would agree with you there. Oh.
She's coming.
Is it Dave?
No, if it's not Brady.
Come on,
is it Dave?
Bring your chair over here, Joy. Come on now.
Obviously, we're saying this because the numbers are overwhelming. The experience that Brady has is overwhelming, and we're not talking about the teams. So if we took Brady out of this,
who is it, Dave?
Say it.
That guy wearing four over there on the right side of the screen.
Who,
Burr on the big board.
You talking about? You know, them right here?
That guy.
Oh. Them right here?
That guy. Oh. If Tom Brady, if I can't ride with Tom Brady, I'm riding with that
over
guy.
Are you, serious?
You ride with him over? You ride with him over this guy?
He's got a bum shoulder.
Over this guy?
He's got a bum shoulder.
This is crazy.
He's 0-1 for his career.
So Dak Prescott over Jalen Hurts.
They're going to shut the show down. We got to stop playing around.
Yeah.
Why?
The key word for, again, words matter. That's the theme.
All day
that's the theme for this segment. Trust. I've seen more of it. Like, I mean, Jalen Hurts, and that's why it's so hard to if you're talking about ranking quarterbacks, however you want to phrase it, it's hard to judge one season, right? Like, Jalen Hurts has been phenomenal. I would vote for him for MVP, at least up until he got hurt. We'll see what happens. I'm not shading the guy because I'm saying this. It's still not a huge sample size. It's just not. Like, he wasn't this guy last year, was he not? He certainly wasn't this guy in 2020. So you're talking, and what? Now he's missed a game. So what? He's played 14 games at a high level? I've watched Dak Prescott play at a high level for six seasons, really. And in the playoffs, by the way, everybody, like, yes, they lost in embarrassing fashion to the Niners. He's won a playoff game. He's played phenomenal in the playoffs on multiple occasions in his career. Played great against the Packers in a classic loss. They lost the game. It's fine. He still played fantastic. He wasn't the reason why they lost. I've seen Dak do it.
Okay.
I've seen Dak do it more than any other quarterback that will be in the NFC playoffs. Yeah.
How do you feel about the fact that Jalen Hurts has already touched higher highs than Dak Prescott? In the sense that Dak Prescott has never had a season in his however many years career that amounted to something, right? He's never had a season that's amounted to something as great as a season as Jalen Hurts is having this year.
I don't say it to be funny, but, like, the playoffs are a different animal. And it is entirely possible that Jalen Hurts could grab the bull by the horns and do it, and I will be very impressed. I haven't seen him do it. And, again, like, I brought up Lamar Jackson as a joke, but it's true.
It's true. Seriously.
He was a unanimous
Josh
MVP.
Allen, until last year.
Like, the playoffs are tough, and crazy things happen when it's a one-game sample size. Like, Lamar Jackson went 0-1 in the playoffs after an MVP campaign. So you can touch all the dizzying highs that you want in the regular season, and it's not guaranteed to translate. The Eagles have a fantastic team. There's more to it than Jalen Hurts, which will make life easier on him. Seeing is believing for me. And again, like, I don't say, like, Dak has accomplished all of this crazy stuff in the playoffs that nobody else has. But that's a testament to what the NFC looks like right now. Brady and Rodgers are the only ones who have. And right now, we don't know if either one of them is going to be there.
How you feel about that when you hear that?
I mean, he has a point, right? Because he said he's seen Dak do this and do that. And I believe that because you don't see players, like, just play one way for 17, 16, for however many weeks they play. And then in the playoffs, it's just be way different. Right? Like, you are.
Not often.
You
not
see
often.
What I'm saying? So you don't really see that. Like even, like, the play calls. Like, you make these play calls all year, and then the playoffs is just way different. Like, people are, they're going to be who they are. Coaches, players. So you might do more in the playoffs. You might do a little, you might do less in the playoffs, but you are who you are. It's hard for me to see Jalen Hurts do all this good, right? Because he had bad games this year.
Two of them.
Right? But you do all this good, and then the playoffs, you're just going to be a bum.
I
can't believe that.
I'm being sincere. I hope you're right because
we'll see.
People get judged so harshly on what happens in the playoffs. So it would be unfair for Jalen Hurts if, you know, he gets had dragged in the offseason because of what happens in the playoffs.
I'm not even being funny. How many playoff wins that got? Two?
1-3.
One.
Got one? So, I mean, like, to be honest, I mean, he has more experience than Jalen Hurts, but, like, I mean, it's like, has he done way more than Jalen Hurts in the playoffs?
No, he's been to the divisional round twice, and he's been to the playoffs four times.
I'm just saying, like, it's a big margin, like a
Brady. It's not at all.
So it's like, I mean, he just went there more, but it ain't like he was balling, right?
He's played well in the playoffs at times during his career.
Was he balling?
He balled at least on a cut. He balled against Seattle in 18, and he balled against Green Bay. Rodgers was just better.
Let's ask some questions.
That's two more times that he's balled in the playoffs than Jalen Hurts.
We'll see. But you told me all set that you would take Jalen Hurts over Dak Prescott this year. You told me that.
You can't say who's had the better season on camera, bro.
Who's
that's
had
like
the
a Cardinal? That's a foul.
Is that
you're not allowed to do that.
I did it ever? Like, he's clearly had a better season. Who's arguing?
You're not allowed to do that.
No, but you say all the time, like, Shady.
We have to approve these.
But you
things.
Say Shady off camera. You said this, that, and then you
but
said
I don't it, indict you.
You said it earlier in the
Shady.
My bad.
Bad teammate.
Sorry.
Bad teammate.
Oh my! Speaking of good teammates, actually, Devontae Adams has been a great teammate to Derek Carr. Remember, Derek Carr, after 9 seasons, 3 Pro Bowls, MVP votes, is no longer the starter in Las Vegas. This was shocking news when it broke. What in the world should Derek Carr do next? And who's going to win the parting of ways between the two? Speak.
Do not go anywhere. Sorry about that, Dave.
I'll
keep your secret a safe.
Well, the Raiders' playoff hopes are in fact still alive, but Derek Carr's future with the team is on life support, benched for the final 2 weeks of the season. And maybe in perpetuity, Jarrett Stidham, he will take over as a starter. Keep in mind who Derek Carr is to this franchise. Drafted there in the second round, a starter for 9 consecutive seasons, has played at least 15 games in each of the previous 8 seasons, and he's stepping away from the team for the rest of the regular season to, quote, not be a distraction, close quote. Shady, Derek Carr starts for 9 years. You know what? Let me speak to you. LeSean McCoy, drafted to the Philadelphia Eagles in the second round. Derek Carr, drafted to the Las Vegas Raiders, Oakland at the time in the second round. LeSean McCoy, the Eagles' all-time rushing leader. Derek Carr, the only good thing about the Raiders for the last 10 years. LeSean McCoy will likely go into the Eagles' Ring of Honor within the next 3 years. Derek Carr, I do not know what Ring of Honor he will go into, but he's at least in the honor of all the minds of Raiders fans. Derek Carr, after 9 years, benched. In the midst of the season, LeSean McCoy after 6 or so traded. How should Derek Carr feel right now, given the fact that to some degree, a higher degree, you've been in that position before?
I can't speak on how I should feel, but I'll speak on how I felt, right? Because it's so similar. Like, you put it together, it was so similar. It differs because you bring your best friend on a team, who's the best wide receiver in the league, Davante Adams. He comes there just for me. So now I'm thinking, okay, I've had 6 head coaches in here in my 9 years, right? So it wasn't great. Dysfunctional. Then I get my best friend there to play with me. I would love to have that. It's not you, but it probably was like Deshaun Jackson during that. And you want to build. I think he thought for the future they would be pretty good in Vegas. Now he's not going to be part of that. And when I went through my trade from Chip Kelly to the Bills, you feel hurt. And from the smaller things, like, it's not all about football. Like, I remember just having my favorite, cafeteria lady, right? Every day she knew I wanted to eat, you know, so my diet was intact. In the weight room, I had my own workout schedule, my own strength coach. Small things like that. If I'm late to work, I know the fastest route to get there so I won't get fined. And then you grow to the community. I see so many things that Derek Carr does in the community, right? Same thing with Philadelphia. I was doing so many things in the community, and I felt like that was my home. He's been there for 9 years. Like you, that's home for you. So now your thoughts are, what am I going to do now? Now I got to look for a new team. I'm talking to my agent. I really don't feel like talking to my agent because I'm so depressed and angry. All these different mixed emotions. So it's like, what do I do? So I think right now for Derek Carr, man, just take your time. I think it will get better. But it is a tough place to be in. I've been there where it's like, how can a team tell me they don't want me, right? And if we look at the Raiders, we can all say that he's not the weakest link on the team. They can address so many different positions on that team for them to be good. And they can start with the head coach. So I feel him.
I got a question for you. March 3rd, you were traded to the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
March 11th of 2015, Jeremy Maclin leaves the Eagles. Jeremy Maclin, first round pick, the year you were the second round pick.
My boy.
Take me back. Did Jeremy Maclin call you when you got traded, or did he call you beforehand knowing he wasn't going to re-sign? What was the emotional connection between y'all's bond when you left Philadelphia?
I left first.
And he was your guy.
Yeah, so I left first, and then he didn't re-sign.
Yep.
Right? And I think that I had a lot to do with that because I didn't think I was getting traded. Like, why would y'all trade me? Listen, at this time of my career, like, after the season, most players clean out their lockers, you know, stuff like that. I didn't. I live on every – look, the Nike's going to stay where they at, you know, my mouthpiece. I'm going to be back. So then when I wasn't back, like, it changed some of the team, the players, like Jeremy Maclin. He's like, why would I go back to the Eagles in the offense where now a guy that's going to get 8 in the box every game, he's not going to be there. So I'm not coming back. That's why I said earlier that Davante Adams, like, not only is he mad because of that, like, I'm not playing my best friend, but it's like, why am I coming here to play? I don't know nobody on the. I don't know nobody on the Raiders. I know Derek Carr. All right, that's my boy. You told me to come here because he was gonna be here, and we signed that deal. Now he's not there. Why would I still own up to this deal I got?
questions they got to answer.
That's a great point. Thank you for sharing that. Joy, where do you stand on Derek Carr? How should he feel? What do you make of the situation?
As usual, I'm the wrong person to ask. I tell my friends this all the time. Don't ask me, because I'm going to give you advice that you probably are not equipped to follow.
Yeah.
But it is what I would do. Look, I'm a Capricorn. It's all good, baby. Best of luck to you. Good times.
Hey, pat on the back.
You're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. We'll see. You're going to be all right. I'm going to be all right.
I'm going to be all right.
Life goes on. You got to go through the stages of grief. You get sad. You know, what are the stages of grief? Like sadness.
Anger, denial, bargaining.
Bargaining, acceptance.
I felt that before.
Yeah, it's real. It's real. It's a breakup.
I felt that.
It's a breakup.
Trade it.
Yep. It's hard. But once Derek Carr gets to that acceptance stage, he's going to feel good.
Yeah.
Because there are going to be suitors, a lot of them. And it's going to be a place that wants him. And it's going to be a place that needs him.
Right.
Derek Carr is not old. He's 9 years into his career. What year is Russ in?
11. Yeah.
Now, Russ is better than Derek has been, of course. But this is not the end of the road for Derek Carr. The Raiders are a dysfunctional place. Give them their due. Stop paying attention to the brands. Six coaches in 9 years? That is ridiculous. That is ridiculous. That is Browns. That's crazy.
That's Browns.
That is Browns.
Browns behavior.
That is crazy. How can you expect anybody to get, forget just Derek Carr, anyone in that organization to get any kind of momentum going when you're changing out the coach every other year? Yeah. It's crazy. You're going to be all right, Derek. Don't worry about it. Just take this time. You got a little bit of time. It's a new year. New year, new me, honey. Go to the spa. Just go ahead and relax. There's lots of them in Vegas. They're very nice. Get you some massages. Spend some time with the family. You got a lot of kids. This is a nice little break for you. They're going to be calling, so don't worry about it. It's really not that deep. You had a great experience in Vegas. You live there.
Okay. You had an experience.
You had an experience. It's not a loss, it's a lesson. And to speak to Shady's experience, because my brother was traded once and he was cut once. And he wanted to spend his whole career in Miami. Obviously, he is still in Miami. He's still a part and around that organization. And he loves Miami. And it really hurt him. And it hurt me. And, you know, being that we're a lot alike. I'm a little feistier than Jason publicly. And I was mad for him. Now, I didn't say everything I wanted to say publicly, obviously. I could have said some things. But it's hard. It is a hard thing to go through. You got to move your family. You got to, where are the kids going to go to school?
Go to school. That's another one I had.
You said, how do you get to work? All those little things people don't think about in these transactions. But it changes your life. It is moving to a new city. It might be a city that you've never spent any time in before. Where do you get lunch?
Where do you get lunch?
You got to find a new nutritionist in the city. There's right. So much that changes over, and all that goes through your mind, these breakups. But Derek, you're going to be all right.
Dave, let's take it back onto the football field. The Raiders clearly were not pleased with Derek Carr as their starting quarterback. 2 playoff appearances in 9 years. He only made 1 start because remember when they made the playoffs in what would have been 16. The 2016 season,
yep. Yeah.
Connor Cook out of Michigan State was the starter because Derek Carr had a fractured fibula, if I'm not mistaken. So the Raiders weren't pleased. Derek Carr, he does have suitors. You've named off camera 9 of them. I can think in my head of 6. Who's better off right now? Is it going to be the Raiders who are trading a average or above average quarterback for question mark or Derek Carr who might have 6 to 9 locations to go to?
It's got to be Derek Carr. I can't think of a scenario where he really loses here. And that's why he's well entitled to feel a type of way right now. Resentment, bitter, anger, whatever. But give it time. Let the market show you what you're worth, and it will. And think about this. He's got a no-trade clause, so the Raiders can't just send him wherever they want to. Or he could be cut. It would probably have to be a post-June 1 cut, but that's just bookkeeping. He'll be available in the middle of the league year when everybody's looking for a quarterback. I mean, the Jets need a quarterback. The Titans certainly look like they might want a new quarterback. I know it's easy to dog on the Colts, but that's a team that's got some talent. The Commanders might need a quarterback. The Giants, they're not tied to Daniel Jones. Like, how many teams, 1, 2, 3, 4? There's 4 teams that are currently fighting for a playoff spot that probably feel like they're a quarterback away. And I guarantee you most, if not all of them, are going to want to talk to Derek Carr at some point this spring. And that's when Derek Carr can say, oh, yeah, I feel pretty good about this whole thing.
I still look good.
Yeah, you look good.
Only thing to make it better, right? You get that new contract from new team.
Hey.
Oh, when I got that, Bills, you want to pay me what? Listen, I was brand new. Philip, thank you, everything, Philadelphia. What's up, Buffalo? Give me that cash, baby. That changed your life for real. For real.
Hey, you forgot all about the pain?
Man, listen. I can't believe they traded me. Oh, Drew Rosenhaus, Shady, they got some money for you. Money for me? Hold on. How much? Top running back, highest paid. Oh, man, look, trade me away. Lead the bags. I don't want the bags. I'm getting through bags. That's just the truth.
Oh, money does, in fact, heal most, if not all, wounds. Coming up, the Packers, they are streaking red hot at the right time, fighting for a playoff spot on the heels of just beating the Miami Dolphins. But has this tumultuous season already been a success for that man number 12, Aaron Rodgers? That's next. Do not go anywhere. Packers had a rough start this season, but they've now won three straight games. Aaron Rodgers squad, well, they're still in the playoff picture. Next up, home game against the Vikings, and Green Bay is favored by 3.5 points, according to Fox Bet Sports Book. Okay, let's come on, Cam. Dave, I had this thought yesterday, prepping for the show. I realized, yo, the Packers' sixth season has already been a success. I was sitting thinking to myself, we knew the Packers weren't going to go to the Super Bowl this year. They traded away Devontae Adams, maybe the greatest receiver in football. So what did we need to see from the Green Bay Packers? We desperately needed to see if Christian Watson was going to be the next generation of Greg Jennings, of James Jones, of Jordy Nelson, of Devontae Adams. And Christian Watson has become that. He is an offensive rookie of the year candidate, and he only turned it on the last six games of the season. I get it. He's been dealing with injuries, but he's shown you the flash you needed to see. The Packers' defense, as of late, forcing turnovers, taking the ball away. Jaire Alexander, now that he's healthy, back balling. Rasul Douglas getting picks. Devondre Campbell at linebacker making plays like we know he's capable of doing. I get that the Packers aren't going to go to the Super Bowl this year, more likely than not, but we didn't think they were going to anyway. So when I really stop down and think about it, whether they make the playoffs or not, the Packers have seen what they needed to see this season. Aaron Rodgers is still competent and talented. Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, a lethal combination in the backfield. Christian Watson is the next generation of great Packers wide receiver. He does have that talent. And the defense is still capable of being stout when they need to. Packers season's, in my mind, already a success, Dave Hillman.
I'm at a loss for words. Not only is that, like, it's not even, no. That's insane.
How so?
That's patently insane.
How so?
What do they call Green Bay, Wisconsin? They call it Title Town.
Do they?
Yeah, that's the name. They got it on the marquee. They got a cool little entertainment district. I've been there. They got the bars. You get some cheese curds in Title Town. Because that's what they do. They win championships. And that's all well and good. Oh, Aaron Rodgers got some, like, he built rapport with his receivers like he's 28 years old. This man's almost 40, and he's been flirting with retirement for the last, like, 3 years.
Sure.
This is not a franchise that has time to develop these things and wait for next season. It is strike while the iron's hot, and the iron is hot when you have Aaron Rodgers. He's back-to-back MVP. When the Packers have flirted with missing the playoffs during Aaron Rodgers' career, okay, it happened at the beginning when they didn't even know if he was good. It happened in the middle when he broke his collarbone and missed half the season, and he came back and got him in anyway because he's the man. And then the last time it happened, the head coach got fired. That's the type of stuff that happens when the Packers miss the playoffs. It's never a success when the Packers miss the playoffs.
Wasn't this,
especially
though,
when Aaron Rodgers is there.
But can't we all admit that this was likely a rebuild? Before the season, I definitely recall the left side, the right side, and myself of the table. Packers would win 10 to 11 games.
I hate to say this on TV. I'm telling on myself. I thought they would get to the Super Bowl. I still thought they were like this defense went into the season.
Okay.
It looks bad in hindsight, whatever. I picked the Chiefs too, for whatever that's worth. It looks bad in hindsight, but this defense had 7 first round picks on it at the start of the season. And even after losing Rashawn Gary, and I think Eric Stokes is on IR right now too, they still have 5. They were supposed to be loaded on defense, ground and pound on offense. NFC North is awful, by the way. I mean, you should have been able to win that. I mean, we didn't see the Vikings doing coming. This, but again, that's a Vikings team with a plus three point differential. Like, you should have been able to win this division. I still believe that, and it's a disappointment that they didn't.
Joy, where do you stand?
Look, by some miracle, and it will take a miracle, the Packers will get into the postseason. Because not only do they need to beat two very good teams in the Vikings and the Lions, then they need a bunch of other stuff to happen as well. So it's not even in their hands anymore. I mean, if we can finally admit that the Packers are not a team that we should consider a Super Bowl team, then yeah, this was a successful season.
But this year we weren't admitting that.
Oh, No. Here's the thing. Everybody always want to act brand new when their team isn't playing well. I seem to remember at the beginning of the season, we don't need Devontae Adams.
Yep.
We have these guys, and we're fine. We have Aaron Rodgers. We have a running game. Look at our defense. We have Matt LaFleur. Why are you doubting us? I don't know.
Because
Devontae
12.
Adams is the best receiver in the league.
Yep.
Who's he going to throw to? Aaron Rodgers ain't worried about your little receivers. He don't even get along with them. Now he does.
That's true.
Because he started losing and seeing maybe we need a relationship here. Maybe we need to do a little more work. Aaron Rodgers is an all-time great player. But you don't get it both ways. You either are an all-time great player. You either are a winning organization, title town, or you're not, and we shouldn't expect nothing from you, and this is a successful season. This is a successful season for the Lions.
Yep.
This is a successful season for Jacksonville. This is a colossal failure for the Green Bay Packers, an organization that is supposed to be competing for a Super Bowl every single year, because you tell me every single year you're supposed to. And Aaron Rodgers tells us every year.
But wasn't this year, at least you knew, okay, I'll say everybody else was wrong, but you forecasted that the Packers were going to win.
Thank you for saying that, Emmanuel.
But you forecasted the Packers were going to win 10, 11 games.
I didn't think they were going to be this bad, which makes it even more of a failure.
I think
I would say 10 games. I picked them to win 10 games.
So
the last 3 years, they won 13.
13, right. 13, 13.
Yeah. And then some of the years they sat because they had the number one seed sewn up. This is, can't be no success. The Packers, 7. Before the year, if I told you that the Packers wouldn't even be 500, would you believe that? Listen, and Rodgers has been that good over his career where it don't matter who the wide receiver is. Every number one receiver he has, from Driver to Jennings to Nelson to Devontae, like, they do well. So you think, okay, well, hey, he's losing the best receiver in the game, but they should be cool. They should be good, serviceable.
You know who else lost the top receiver?
Who's that?
Looks pretty good.
Who's talking about?
Probably going to win the MVP. Patrick Mahomes.
It's true.
Well, Patrick Mahomes is like one of the greats.
Yeah.
But so anyway, so when I look at the Packers, it's like, this can't be no success. They're not even in the playoffs. What are we talking about?
Well, wasn't this a rebuild 2-5?
But like, when you say rebuild, right? What rebuild are we talking about? We're talking about like starting all the way over? Like,
no, meaning like we have to remodel the kitchen. We have to remodel a very foundational piece of
foundation.
Wide receiver.
A-Rod's the foundation.
He is.
Yeah.
He's the foundation. He's a living room. Okay. But we know the Packers always keep a wide receiver on deck.
Yeah, but
they have to find one, and now they did.
I can't even like, and I'm good with knowing football. I've been playing it my whole life. A-Rod, every receiver he has, he does well with. Like, even Randall Cobb. Like, I thought he was okay. I thought he was solid.
Mm-hmm.
He made him better than what he was. All the guys with his name, from Nelson to Driver to Jennings, like, some dudes was ballers. I'm not saying it's all A-Rod, but A-Rod had a lot to do with that.
Has Watson not shown you enough now? 6 touchdowns in the last five games?
I got to see more. I got to see more of him. Right? I got to see more of that connection, the up and down. And then you look at the team. Like, when I watch them play, it's not even them winning the game. It's like teams giving the game up. Like, that Dolphins game, and I won't talk about because Tua, you know, his situation, but, like, they kind of gave him that game. They didn't just go take it. They gave it to him. I don't know. It's hard to see any success with the Packers. I like that they're fighting. I mean, but come on.
Packers have to win out. I believe the Giants have to lose, and the Packers could.
Giants have to lose both of their games.
Commanders have to lose one.
Man, they praying like crazy.
Packers win two.
They praying like they practicing, and then they praying.
It's not supposed to be this way.
Praying.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be this way for the Packers.
Closet. Yeah, like, they got the priest on the field. You know what I mean?
Water.
Yeah.
Sage.
They drink holy water.
Yeah, whatever it takes.
Practice and pray is one heck of a combination. What? It got me to this desk. Coming up, we're going back to Vegas because Derek Carr is out at quarterback. But who is better off after the big move? Is it Carr or the Las Vegas Raiders? That is next on Speak. Practice and pray.
All right, that's it.
That's it.
That might be the play.
It's been a fabulous week of basketball. Zion Williamson, budding superstar, dominated last night. 14 straight points and a career high, 43 points, including that steal you see right there and a dunk to seal the win. Bang, I need that, all that. Give me that Zion, 43 points, career high. But postgame, D'Angelo Russell on Zion Williamson. He's playing football. We play basketball. Shady, you know them dudes that be on the courts. Oh, wait, speak up. Somebody has something to say.
Yeah, I mean, he just ran through my guy, took the ball. He's playing football, we playing basketball. We can't touch him or guard him, so good for him.
Good for him. He's defeated, though.
He looks so defeated.
That's shade if I've ever heard it.
That looks crazy, though.
Like, why?
He's playing football and basketball. Zion is a beast. Listen, real quick, his first game he ever played, the summer league, was in Vegas. I went to it. I had to see if this guy's really the real deal. He's not super tall, but he's big, he's strong. He's explosive, he's fast. I said, this guy's going to easily have 20 points, double-doubles, easily. Without no jump shot, no three ball, that was a game where he stole it, he ripped the ball, and just dunked it. He bullies these dudes.
But did he make the sound effects?
Of course he did. It's like, imagine the Hawk or Wolverine playing basketball. That's him.
Joy, what'd you make of it?
I mean, it's great. It's so amazing to see out there consistently. You know, he's missed a lot of time early in his career. So we all know what he is capable of, and it's great to see him out there healthy.
He doesn't look like a comic book hero. He looks like a damn offensive tackle. Like, he could be out on the blind side, but instead he's making way more money playing basketball. As a New Orleanian, I love to see it.
Honestly, though, Zion and what Shady is saying is why I always push back when fans or people, like, want to talk trash about how tough they would be on the basketball court or if they were to get in a fight with a basketball player. Like, just so you know, the smallest guy on the court, even a guy who's not small, D'Angelo Russell is not small, he got to go up against Zion.
Yeah.
So think about how strong he has to be to try and guard Zion. Now imagine you got to go up against Zion.
Like,
relax.
Shady's like, oh, he's not that big. Which, like, for a basketball player, he's not. He's 6'6". Yeah. Like, basketball,
he's
crazy.
He's a big dude.
A different world.
Okay, we got to get back to the NFL Raiders. They made a huge move just yesterday, benching their former star quarterback, Derek Carr. I could not believe it when I heard the news. Now, by now, you may have heard the news, but that's not the most intriguing conversation. Benching a three-time Pro Bowler is wild, but clearly, if you're going to do it, you have to have something up your sleeve. Remember, Derek Carr says he's going to sit at home the last 2 weeks of the season to not be a distraction. Shady, when I think about it, I think the Raiders, as disrespectful as this move was, they might be in a better position than Derek Carr is. Reason being, 9 years with Derek Carr, and as much of a leader as he is, and he is absolutely one of the greatest leaders for an organization we've seen in the last decade, 2 playoff appearances. Derek Carr only made 1 playoff start due to injury. So you're talking about 1 playoff start in the last 9 years. You got to remember what kind of organization only has 1 playoff appearance in the last 9 years. We're talking about organizations like the Detroit Lions, organizations like the Giants, organizations like the Commanders, organizations like, I already spoke of Washington. You're not talking about several great organizations. So when I really think about it, the Raiders might be better off by moving on from Derek Carr, because with Derek Carr, you go to the playoffs twice in 9 years. So in the next 9 years, you're going to go maybe 2 more times. I understand the business decision. I will say and say again how disrespectful it is to Derek Carr, the person. But, Shady, I think the Raiders might be better off than Derek Carr. Who do you think is better off in the parting of ways?
They would be if they kept him. With all the new additions, right, another year, the team, the running back, the wide receivers, they would be. But it's not. I'm going to go with Derek Carr. Now that you're moving yourself from this dysfunctional team, right, and I know right now it looks bad, you're sad, and all the different emotions you talked about, that's over with. You go to a new team, now you could pick it. You have a trade clause where they can't trade you, right, unless you want to go to that team. And then if they cut you, you sit at home, right, and you let all the bidders. I think a team like the Patriots, Mac Jones, he's what? He'd be a good backup, right? Matt Jones, you got the Jets. Who else?
Commanders.
You got some teams. The Giants.
Carolina.
So now I'm the Panthers, I'm going to sit home, right? Play with the kids, right? Maybe 2 days I might be sad. But then your agent calls you. There's some money there for you. They want to pay you some extra money. Some good teams. So you feel better about yourself. I think it'll be better for Derek Carr if he goes to a new home that wants you. One thing about being traded or even signed to a big deal, like from the free agency, they want you. It's nothing like being somewhere where they want you. That feels good. Oh, that feels good. Oh, the Buffalo, they was just letting me do everything. Shady, whatever you need, just call us. I'm like, yeah. So I started trying my luck. Hey, man, it's late. I don't know where I'm going. Can you ask somebody to send me some food? Yeah, I want chicken. Yeah. Bring me chicken. Hey, you know, I don't like these cleats. Man, call Nike. I need some different cleats. Give me like 6 of them to try on. Next day, practice, 6 cleats. They do. They take care of you when they want you.
That's like the Russell Wilson thing, right? You get an office, you
hopefully
get some
parking start giving me different things. Speak, I need some more clothing. I ain't gonna talk about me.
You know what's fun? Like, you brought this up yesterday. Like, it's fascinating to see a team be willing to move on from a franchise quarterback, regardless of whether or not it's a good idea. It's interesting. It gives us something to talk about. It gives fans something to speculate about. I wonder what it says that this is now the second franchise that's been willing to do it. Mm. Washington did it with Kirk Cousins. And we would say those are like two of the three or four most dysfunctional franchises in the NFL. I mean, Washington has made one playoff appearance since Kirk Cousins walked out the door. It was during a COVID year, which the NFC East was a disaster by any standard that season. So not exactly something to hang your hat on. Maybe they'll get back this year for the first time. They sure as hell don't have their quarterback situation answered, given that they're flip-flopping between two different guys. So I think Derek Carr is in line for more immediate success, unless the Raiders can truly pull off something wild, like getting Tom Brady to come to Las Vegas. And then you would have my attention. I think it would have Devontae Adams' attention. I'm sure a lot of people in that organization will be pumped about that. But barring really hitting a home run like Tampa Bay was able to do, I think like Derek Carr is going to be able to pick his spot. And the odds that a team that is a quarterback away from being pretty good is going to be interested in talking to him is high. So I think Derek Carr is just in a much better spot because I think, as Washington can probably attest, even when you're not super satisfied from what you're getting from your guy, it's hard to find a franchise quarterback.
But, Joy, are we speaking too highly of Derek Carr, the player? Because many people would say the Raiders were just a quarterback or so away from being good. The Raiders have pieces. Chandler Jones is there defensively. Offensively, clearly Devontae Adams, Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow, Josh Jacobs.
Max Crosby.
Max Crosby defensively up and for Defensive Player of the Year through the first 13 or so weeks of the season. So are we speaking too highly of Carr? Who will be better off in your mind?
Carr. Stop saying nice things about the Raiders, okay? Stop doing it. How well has that defense played this year?
Not great.
Terrible. Last. Yeah. Last in sacks, last in the league. That's Max is a dog. I love Max Crosby. Chandler Jones, great player. That defense as a whole has been bad. Six coaches in 9 seasons. Do we even need to go down the incidents of dysfunction? We don't. We don't have enough time. It's only a couple minutes left. We don't have enough time to go over all the stuff that he's dealt with there. You know this. When you go to work and you can't just go to work, you got to just deal with something different every day. It takes away from being great. It's like having a dysfunctional home. You can't just live. You got to, we got to deal with today. What are we mad about today? It's exhausting. It drains you. You only have so much energy to apply to anything in a day. That's why functional places tend to be more successful. Functional businesses tend to be more successful.
Let me ask you, though, real quick, because this is actually fascinating. When you think about all the teams that y'all mentioned, whether it be the Colts, whether it be the Giants, whether it be the Commanders, whether it be the Titans to some degree, all of these places, too, have dysfunction. The Colts hired Jeff Saturday. Who in the world is that? The Jets have had 4, maybe going on 5 coaches, but at least 4 since Derek Carr was where he was at. Clearly, the Commanders, they have less playoff appearances than the Raiders. We say of all these locations, but are any of them that functional either? Or they probably wouldn't need a quarterback.
They all need quarterbacks too. And bringing up Washington is the best point because Washington sure didn't want to pay Kirk Cousins.
Nope.
Right? Yeah. They've had 11 starting quarterbacks since Kirk Cousins left.
11? Oh my God.
It's a revolving door. Be careful jumping on this quarterback carousel. It ain't that easy to get off. Look at the Browns. What did they have to do? Go pay Deshaun Watson $236 million guaranteed. And you know the Raiders ain't got that. Okay? And there are no other Deshaun Watsons to do that for. So, look, we'll see how it plays out. If you want to put your trust in the Raiders, by all means. I think Derek Carr is going to be the one that ends up winning out long term.
Huge game tonight. Cowboys are playing, and whenever they play, it's a huge game. Now, keep in mind, the Tennessee Titans, who the Cowboys are playing tonight, are expected to start Josh Dobbs at quarterback, a one-time University of Tennessee standout. Dobbs signed off the Lions practice squad last week and will now be making his first start for the Titans. Dave Hellman, you're the resident Cowboys insider. Talk to me about the matchup.
This is a weird game. Like, the Titans have everything to play for. They're not in the playoffs yet, but this game doesn't mean anything to them. They're waiting for Jacksonville next week. I'm taking Dallas. Just Dallas still technically could win the East, so they're going to be playing harder, which sounds weird, but that's the case.
Dory, what do you care about in this game?
Play a nice, clean game. Get a convincing win. I mean, Tennessee has a playoff game next week.
Yeah,
get
exactly.
Get an early playoff game next week.
Cowboys,
you're going to ask me?
No way, I'm out of time. We'll see y'all
tomorrow. Let's go, Dobbs! Let's go, Dobbs! Come on, baby, bring it home.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.